This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today's guest is Aaron Pobereskin, and he is the co-founder over at Best Behavior Cereal. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Adam, thanks for having me. You know, this is so exciting, and especially for the co-founder of a brand that's only about 3 weeks old.
Man, Aaron, well, let me tell you something. When I found out I got to talk about cereal on the show, I've done almost 7,000, I'm over 6,000 going towards 7,000 episodes. And man, this is the first time I got to talk about cereal, which I love cereal. So man, I'm excited. I gotta ask you, did you think you were going to be in the cereal business? Where did this start?
No, I never expected this. Where this started is far, far, far away from a shelf-stable food and might even sound paradoxical to you. My career has been as a chef. I began cooking in what are now Michelin star restaurants in Chicago when I was 15, 16 years old, and I didn't stop until the pandemic. So, you know, that might seem like an odd transition into cereal.
But food was in you though from the beginning. Like, you were always thinking about flavors in food. That actually makes me feel better about the flavors because I haven't tried this yet. So go continue. Like, you tell me that now I'm like, oh, this actually tastes good too, other than the amazing design. Go ahead, please.
You know, you bring up a great segue here to the story behind the brand, is that I always think about flavors in food. And
yeah, you can't help it with your, you're like, don't put, if it doesn't taste right, you're not putting that on my name. I don't care if it sells.
No way. And you know what? That's more challenging than you think because taste is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And so arriving at the right flavor profile, the right balance between sugar, between, you know, premium ingredients, you know, and then how that translates to your tongue has been a difficult initiative to go forth with. But, you know, where that started was just focus. Every single day, 12 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week as a chef on crafting amazing experiences for other people. You know, that's where I come from. I come from the busy, bustling restaurants of New York, Chicago, LA, as far as Copenhagen, where chefs are dedicated to their craft, where they're dedicated to the notion of taste, refine, improve, do better for the guests every single night. But these chefs, and I'm one of them, go home after a 14, 15, 16-hour shift, tired, drained. All their energy went somewhere else during the day, not towards themselves. And getting off the train, as I often would in Brooklyn at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was not going to go home and nurture myself with a meal. I was too tired. There wasn't energy. More likely, it was a slice from Artichoke's Basile's Pizza on Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn, or it was a bowl of cereal, sugary, carb-heavy cereal, scarfed down over the sink, over the garbage can, collapsing into bed. And so Best Behavior didn't start with being on my best behavior. It started with it was really not prioritizing my own health. And this is before the advent of and popularity of better-for-you cereal. So it was sugar and it was carbs. And when it came around to my career in product development and the opportunity to build something of my own with my partners, my employer, Redbud Brands, which is an advisory and venture capital studio that helps entrepreneurs and pre-revenue businesses accelerate and grow. When it came to that, we thought, well, I'm not alone as a chef. It's not just chefs that don't have time to take care of themselves. My partner, Anish, is an operating partner of a venture capital firm, and he operates as a fractional CEO of three or four different businesses, has three or four different full-time jobs. Then he's got part-time commitments as an advisor, as a board member, additional full-time commitments as a dad. There are so many people who go throughout their daily lives, and their focus is on work and on family. When they get a chance on fun, what comes last? Yourself. Mm. Are you going to make time to cook dinner or cook breakfast, or are you going to make time to go on a run? Are you going to make time to lift some weights at the gym? We're always juggling our priorities, and convenience is key. And we thought, okay, cereal just has this amazing opportunity to serve that need for convenience beyond just breakfast, with your camera off during a Zoom call at noon, meetings all day long, in the car, you know, on the way to the gym, so you have something in your stomach before you're lifting weights, you know, for breakfast with kids, you know, getting your day started. Cereal is convenient. Generally, it's pleasing to consume. We get a lot of research behind it. Crunching on something relieves stress. But the brands that we have available, and some of them are even, you know, leaders in Better For You, they're kind of radicals. They'll say, you know, Better For You means no sugar whatsoever. It means the lowest net carb possible. And the compromise is the eating experience. The texture is diminished. Flavor is not a priority. A lot of cereal brands and beyond will pander to you. This is going to be delicious. This is going to taste good. We decided right away we're not going to do that on our box, not verbally. We'll put an image on it, photorealistic image of food that says to you, that messages to you between the lines, this will be delicious, and we leave it to you to decide. But we wanted more balance. We wanted an eating experience, a convenient one without compromise. And then we enter the, you know, the brand new category, as we see it, of adult. And so this is the conversation we were having when contemplating this brand and founding it. We know cereal is convenient. We know people, you know, hold it dear to themselves, and it can be a solution for those pinches in your day where you need something to sustain you and you can't get away. We know that need exists. We know a need exists for nutrition. Well, how about pleasure too? And how about evolution of lifestyle and taste? We look at the cereal category, and it's really in massive decline. A lot of consumers that were acquired by the Post, the General Mills, the Kellogg's of the world, they're lost when they grow up and they grow out of their childish habits and grow into new habits, new interests, education, art, architecture, design, business, health. None of those things are aligned with Blueberry Blast and a splash of milk and a cartoon rabbit on a box. None of them.
So we
thought, is there room for an adult cereal? Is there a market for it? Our data tells us yes. Our data tells us that all those, you know, cereal eaters drop off, they make better choices. And then later in life, much later in life as parents, they might return to granolas, which is a different category altogether. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, extruded puffs, crunchy, flavorful stuff. They might move on to granolas. They might move on to, you know, oats or other things with different benefits. Now, in that largely declining category, there is a very, very, very small subsect of it that's on the rise. And those are the Magic Spoons, Three Wishes, the Catalina Crunches, who do a phenomenal job in responding to the early definition of better for you. Mm-hmm. You'll get your fiber. You'll get your protein. But I don't think you get the pleasure of the eating experience as well. And so this is where we differentiated a little more and started to define what that product is and what we came up with. Is Best Behavior in three flavors.
Talk to me about the flavors and the flavor profile. They look amazing. Sure. I was like, yeah, these are definitely adult flavors, but not in a bad way.
Thank you. Well, you know, adult flavors is tricky too. We want to be approachable to more people than we want to be interesting to them. But we want to speak to adults. That's the target. And so we looked at what are the most popular flavor profiles in cereal. Mm. Well, they're really easy to distinguish walking down the aisle. Chocolate or cocoa is a huge one. We were not going to not do a chocolate cereal. We were not going to not do a fruity cereal. And then the final major category, I would call it pastry or cinnamon. And I think every cereal eater you talk to is going to tell you about their favorite flavor, and it's going to fall into one of those buckets. So we thought, how do we work with the approachability and the data and the clear desire expressed by consumers for these profiles, but elevate them and make them just interesting enough to be approachable and exciting and not weird? And when we thought about cocoa, first and foremost, and I've been pushing for this for day one, it took some convincing for the rest. I thought, well, what do we often do?
You're like, I'm the chef here. I know. Go ahead.
You know what my parents fed me when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn was Häagen-Dazs coffee chip. I don't know what they actually call it. I don't remember. But an ice cream. And I always thought, okay, this is adults drink coffee. Adults like coffee with chocolate. And when you talk about chocolate, you're talking about notes of coffee. When we talk about coffee, you're tasting it and pulling out notes of coffee. I think I said that right. It was like, what is a trend that's been on the rise for like the past 10 or 15 years? Americans, millennials, and Gen X, those are our target markets in urban areas, slightly higher income. They love their daily coffee. They love going down the street. I go down to Silver Mill in my neighborhood of Silver Lake, California every day, and I'm having a cortado or I'm having, you know, a dirty chai latte. Other people are ordering mochas. And it dawned on me, okay, like mocha is such a fun, approachable, delicious flavor. And all it is coffee and chocolate and a little bit of cream. We actually use butter powder for richness. And so that's our first premium flavors, mocha latte. May I read to you a little blurb we put on the back of the box?
Please, please.
Okay, I thought this would be fun. It's not off the cuff. This is planned. Mocha latte has an aroma that is all about luxury. This luscious blend of rich dark chocolate with hints of espresso has a satisfying, long-lasting crunch that will make you want to come back for more. That's what we're talking about. And it's, you know, a little bit colorful language, but it's what it's meant to convey. This is sophisticated and it's approachable. And the data, and we're always informed by data, tells us it should do well. The other flavors, they are blueberry buttermilk. That's our fruit cereal. When we thought about what blueberry tastes like, that was a fun experience because a fun exercise because really blueberries are kind of nondescript. They're indescript. And we experience them in different contexts. Like a fresh blueberry might be slightly sweet, slightly acidic, maybe a little grassy, doesn't have tons of aroma, which is an enormous component of flavor. And you learn that. As a chef, you learn that when you cook blueberries and you stew them down, they become more floral. When you then fill them into a pie crust or a tart shell, now there's a connotation of butter, maybe vanilla, maybe lemon. And so these, you know, two representations of blueberries that everybody I think knows well are blueberry pie or muffin or pancake, cooked, stewed, baked, and then fresh. Well, we put that together for our dream of what blueberry flavor is. So starting with a base of spray-dried fresh blueberries, which lend the blueberry buttermilk cereal a really beautiful pink periwinkle color, which many people upon first observation think is artificial. It's not. It's real blueberries. We support that with a few plant-based chemical components in a natural flavor system. We're not shy about this. They're naturally occurring. There's nothing wrong with them. We use linalool, the chemical you find in roses and lavender, and it makes fruits taste phenomenal and gives them the aroma of flowers. We have that component. We use something called trans-2-hexanol, which is found in the underripe stage of fruits that lends freshness. And so in blueberry buttermilk, on top of the tangy richness of buttermilk and the butter powder, you have real blueberries in a juxtaposed flavor profile of cooked, stewed, floral, aromatic, sweet, and grassy, green, acidic, in one.
Man, you're making me hungry over here is what you're doing.
I hope so. And remember,
I looked at your Instagram as well, and I'm like, man, making me. So for anybody listening, I don't care what anybody says. Like, I've never heard of a chef talk about cereal like this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's the Michelin star experience of eating cereal. I'm in.
I sure hope so. If you do look on the Instagram, you know, you'll see that taste is not always so refined, but more about fun and pleasure. That's the focus of my life now, and it's what I hope to convey and our team hopes to convey through food products. Best behavior starting with cereal. I'm confident we're going to extend more along these same lines of, you know, concise ingredient panels, balanced nutrition, but starting with the eating experience. And starting with data to prove that there's a business here. It's not just we think this is cool on a whim, let's start a brand, you know, not that everyone does, but we want it to be really intentional here. That last flavor, by the way, cinnamon brioche is our answer to cinnamon toast crunch. It is Ceylon cinnamon, the softer bark of the Ceylon cinnamon tree in Mexico. It's called canela. That's where I fell in love with that type of cinnamon. It's different than cassia, the hard curly bark, which comes from a different tree, also true cinnamon, but is more of a red hot in flavor. And we balance the cinnamon with even more butter and tones of vanilla. And so that's the product. That's the product and where it came from and how we put it together. Just premium ingredients, great nutrition. By the way, we use real sugar. I want to make that clear also. We use a little bit. Being best behavior is you or the adult, you decide what's good for you. Your mom's not whispering in your ear anymore.
Yeah.
To mind your manners and eat healthy and have dinner before dessert. We actually encourage you to eat best behavior as a dessert too. Got a little bit of sugar, 6 grams in a serving, but 12 grams of protein, 6 of fiber, you know, those premium ingredients we talked about. And each SKU, each flavor is kind of riddled with very, very, very fine grained flour salt. So you might not even consciously recognize it, but you could snack on this like popcorn in front of the TV. It's great on top of whipped cream. It enhances sweetness from other accompaniments. Accoutrement adds texture. It's really a multi-use case cereal.
What's been the response so far? I know in terms of sales, you're pretty new getting in there, so that's not what I mean. But I mean in terms of like when you finally got to the end product, it's in the box. Obviously, like you've done a ton of testing, and I'm sure all of your friends have tried this. Like, what's been the response?
You know, response has been overwhelmingly positive, but it's also been mixed. Positivity comes in different ways. Oh, it's sweeter than what I normally eat, but there's not too much sugar. Oh, it's less sweet than I normally eat it, but I can kind of taste a little protein. Or the feedback is phenomenal. And we have to decipher that feedback and try to figure out what to do with it. When we launched at Natural Products Expo West, the biggest trade show nationally for consumer packaged goods, of which we are one, we thought we might go through 1,500 samples in 3 days that we had a booth. By the end of day one, we went through 1,200. By the end of 3 days, myself and our team, I reckon, had personally interacted with 4,000 to 5,000 individuals between three of us.
Oh, and, my gosh. Were you a little tired, maybe? Just a little? When you got on that plane heading back or wherever you were heading back to?
I was always taught as a chef not to complain, so I won't use the word tired in a sentence. But I had to recover my voice each day.
Okay.
Give myself a pep talk. make sure that everyone who was coming up to the booth felt like they were the first one being talked to. And that's quite an investment of energy. And it can be hard to keep up with. I think the team did a great job. I hope I made some good impressions. But we found, you know, a lot of novices walking the floor who loved it. I heckled a lot of them. I think shameless promotion with good intention is the hallmark of an entrepreneur or salesperson. And if anyone made eye contact, I would scream out something to them like, hey, you can't look and not touch. Come over here. come try some cereals. Everyone would be like, oh, we had so much to eat. I'm like, I'm going to make you the one puff challenge. Come eat one puff.
The one puff like it, challenge. I love it.
Everybody has room for like a puff of cereal. A lot of them, you know, again, people who are just interested in food, but even more so buyers, brokers, retailers. And so, you know, we miss what are the national resets. It's when all the big guys, the Whole Foods, the Targets, put new products on the shelf. We miss it for June. We're shooting for January. We're in talks with all those retailers. Our approach is not direct to consumer. It is available on our website. I'll talk about it later. We started that for friends and family only. It's really taken off in a way that is probably not good for our business's bottom line, but we'll use it for like, you know, introductions.
Yeah.
But our approach is retail. We're meant to be on the shelf. Again, a database decision coming out of the pandemic. Retail's on the rise and direct to consumer is not. Some of the leaders, again, in what we do, the Magic Spoons and Three Wishes, started direct to consumer, built massive fan bases before they hit the shelf. And I think that's a luxury that's not afforded to us right now. So we're being intentional about this. We'll launch in Los Angeles at the 28 Gelson's locations here. And a couple one-offs like Farm Shop in Brentwood, Santa Monica. And we are in talk with the big guys. And I got to tell you, it's uncomfortable sometimes because it's a three-week-old product that I am deeply in love with. And I have to have my team talk me off a cliff sometimes because we'll get some feedback, which is we love the positioning. We love the brand and the artwork, the flavor names, everything about it, the language, the copy, the website. We think this will look great on our shelf. The price point's good. But then they'll say, the flavor is not quite what we expected. Mm. And I've got to take a deep breath and realize a leader, an entrepreneur has to be able to pivot. And 95% of people might say, this is amazing. We love everything about it. But if the 5% who don't are the ones who have the power to put it on the shelf and who really represent the consumer, well, then we've got to figure out what to do with that.
Yeah. So I love it.
This is a great journey.
I love it. And this is just, I'm smiling ear to ear over here because I can't wait to go by. I'll be walking in Gelson's and I'll be like, oh, there goes Aaron's cereal. Once I see that, man, I'm going to take a big picture. I'm posting that. It's going to be fun. I'm gonna circle back to this interview. We're going to do some media around it because this is going to be fun. Because I love it. I mean, I'm a fan of entrepreneurship. If you've been watching or listening to this show for a long time, you obviously
Absolutely.
Know that. But I love it to see, like, this is how innovation happens. This is how, I mean, if it wasn't for pioneers like you and the food and CPG and all these other spaces, like, man, who knows what we'd be eating right now still.
I
need you out there making sure that this kind of stuff gets on the shelf so that I'm not, like, you know, I'm not eating something I'm not supposed to be. I need to be on my best behavior.
Absolutely. And you mentioned one of my favorite words, which is innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it is so hard to innovate. You've got to have a unique proposition. You've mm-hmm. also got to convince people who are skeptical that it's the right one. And mm-hmm. you have to change the way you look at it and think about it sometimes. You got to bring in other voices, but also defend what makes it special. And it's just such a big challenge I think a lot of entrepreneurs deal with, who I would encourage just to stick to their beliefs, but to always bring in other voices and make good business decisions that aren't affected by emotion. It's something that I'm struggling with sometimes.
As are we all. That's called being an entrepreneur. It's okay.
Absolutely. There's a chef who's, I just want to get this one thing out there, because there's a chef I admired when I was 15 and started cooking. That's Ferran Adrià at El Bulli and Rosés in Spain, and one of the leaders in global gastronomy and modernized dining. He used to love to say, creativity is never copying.
Yeah.
I have that voice in my head every single day. It's so hard to create something new. But if you can create just one piece of something that's existing that is new and stand by it and push it forward, that's innovation too. That's what we try to do here. And hopefully that's an inspiring quote for someone else and not just a silly thing I keep in the back of my head. Yeah. We're always thinking about creativity is never copying.
Amazing. So, and I think that's a great way to end it, Aaron. So creativity is never copying. That being said, if somebody's listening to this or watching this and they want to learn more about best behavior, they want to follow the journey, or heck, I think you said it's even available on the website right now for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
If they want to pick up a box and try it to be introduced to the product, how do people do that?
How do they do it? They go to bestbehaviorcereal.com to the product page. I highly recommend the variety pack where you get one of each flavor. And if you like one more than the other, you can come back and choose just that. We're at Best Behavior Cereal on Instagram. And anyone who wants to get in touch can fill out the form on the website, direct message us. My personal contact information is on the website. I feel comfortable enough saying that here. If you reach out to Best Behavior, the other guy on the end of the phone is going to be me. And on the end of the email is me. And it's also my co-founder, our CEO, Anish, who has a wonderful business mind and really, really drove our data-based decision-making, which is a strategy he's employed in past businesses that's going to help us out here a lot. So I want to give him the call out because he wasn't able to make it today. Anish Chef, wonderful, wonderful person to lead this brand into its early life.
That's what I'm talking about. For everybody listening, just so you know, we'll put a website and all that good stuff on in the show notes, so you can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, this is a daily show. Each and every day, we're bringing you new entrepreneurs and new stories. So if you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, highly encourage, get that subscribe button smashed so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes, because we got a whole lot more coming up and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Aaron, again, this has been so much fun. I can't wait to pick up a box myself when I'm in Gelson's and it's on the shelf. So thank you so much.
Adam, thank you. What a pleasure.